live from the G&D Show Studios, this is your Ghost Benedict and Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only, Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Demon Hunter!
Yes, sir.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, it's just one of those hot, sticky, ucky, terrible days that I am glad to be in a studio.
Did you say ucky?
I said ucky. It's a word. Look it up.
The English Dictionary, guys, here on the GD Show.
I think my 3-year-old nephew wrote it down in the dictionary with crayon.
Case of the ucky yuckies. You're the best. You guys get only the best here on the GD Show. Hey, smells like Sunday night. That's because it is. It's the only night for your Mystifying Oracle of radio. Special thanks to our carriers, Demon Hunter, all our homes, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal 102.7 FM, The Hog, and the new Demon Hunter, the new home, ActionAudioApps.net. That's where you can check them out. Are you listening? They want to know. Check them out, ActionAudioApps.net, guys.
Huh? That's right.
Thanks for being so cool. Absolutely. 102.7 FM. You guys might have noticed last couple weeks, Nathan, you want to tell them about that? What's happening on the Hog right now?
On the Hog. If you've been listening on the Hog, mind you, folks, it's a brand new station taken over by brand new people, running a brand new format.
Spanking.
And when you do things brand new,
it's brand new.
Things don't work.
or when you
so
do
things.
If
you've been listening on Wednesday nights to catch the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, we last couple weeks we haven't been on. They are fixing the issue, and we will be back on 102.7 FM, The Hog, very soon.
Well, I think even when you do something, I want a Biggie Fries. Even when you do something 8 years, Demon Hunter, you still have bugs. We know that more than anybody in radio, I believe.
What are you talking about? Everything runs perfectly on our show.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever, it's a lie. Exactly. Anyway, guys, welcome back. It is Sunday night. We got a great show tonight. One of my favorites is coming on tonight. We're going to cover that, who the guest is. Ooh, if you guys haven't seen the posters all week that we work hard to put out for you, we'll let you know in just a little bit who's going to be on.
If you haven't seen them, why aren't you joining our Facebook page?
Right.
That's right, folks. Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show does have a Facebook page. Go check it out. Click like. Join. Let us know you're out there.
We have Twitter.
Ooh, yeah. We don't really...
No, we don't do Twitter. We need to get back into the Twitter.
If people come and join our Twitter, I will start posting more twits on the Twitters.
See, is it called twits or tweets?
I think they're tweets.
Oh, but, you're so old. You showed our age. The kid. Hey, look, it's the thing all the kids are talking about. Twitter.
Yeah. You know, that thing that they use. They're sitting there with their thumbs all day.
The kids. The kids are talking about it. It's called Twitter.
Watch it.
Yeah, you can't say that. Hello. Three Stooges. It's like the Two Stooges we took over. Hey, did you ever see that remake of the Stooges the Farrelly brothers made? Or
I did.
What'd you think of
it?
Because
interesting. It was, in its own way, a very nice memorial to the Stooges. In itself, not the best movie, but a nice memorial to the Stooges.
I thought it was humorous. I liked it. I think it was...
Of course you did.
Well, you know, you got, like, with the old Stooges, man, you got the ancient, connection with it. You know, you grew up, your dad was watching the Stooges.
The ancient, okay, and I'm showing our age.
Well, you know, you'd walk through the front room, and dad...
Candy bar.
Yeah, would be watching the Stooges, and you'd sit down on Saturday and watch them with him. And, you know, so you got that connection. So you feel like you're selling the Stooges out by watching someone else.
I don't know. I'm a fan of doing a memorial piece. Why not?
Yeah, crowd likes it. I don't think it's a memorial piece. I think they're going to try to pick it up and make a thing out of it.
Well, I mean, you're playing somebody else's character. So no matter what you do, it's a memorial piece because the Stooges weren't Stooges. They were pretty shrewd businessmen.
Yeah.
But went from being somebody else's second banana being the stars of their own movies. So.
Banana. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was.
Oh,
good.
What? No, you're just gonna blow me off now. I see how it is.
Well, this isn't.
I don't agree with you. Hey, if we stop every conversation when I disagree with you, nothing will ever be said on this show.
Yeah, you disagree with pretty much everything. Of course, I've been right for 8 years that we've been on the air. Proud to say 8 years.
Well, it was 2007 when we were 2014, so we're in our eighth year.
And how long were we on TV? How long? How much? If you had to break down a percentage of the year, it'd be 1.5% of the year? I don't know. I don't know. We need to bring in a statistical.
I don't know. I just got to argue with you. That's what 7 years has done to us. It's a 7-year itch. We're worse than a married couple.
Television has changed you, my friend. Has changed. Anyway, Demon Hunter.
Ghost Man.
Shadow Nation, listeners around the world, get ready. You know what time it is. Tonight's get ready. Tonight's guest.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, yeah. Tonight's guest, Demon Hunter, winner of the 1997 Spirit Award, director and editor of the award-winning art horror trilogy, Habit. Tonight, actor, director, producer Larry Fessenden stops by, guys, from such movies as Wendigo, The Last Winter, one of my all-time favorites, I Sell the Dead, and if I listed them all, Larry wouldn't be on tonight because we would run out of time for each segment. So anyway, much, much more actor, director, producer Larry Fessenden stops by. Woo! This is it, man. If you guys aren't getting excited, you have no pulse. Go to the emergency room immediately. Dial 911. Dial 411. Tonight's guest.
You're not happy with tonight's show.
Yeah.
And I just like to quote my dad when he said, "It's been nice having you for the last 18 years. Now get out."
Get out. Tonight's guest, Larry Fessenden. Very excited. Big guest. Big guest. Talked to Larry before the show. I can't tell you how cool he is. You know, you always get that. You always admire somebody and you look up to him and you wonder, what's Larry doing today as we're going to our dead-end jobs with our failed TV career? And we're just hoping that Larry's living the high life for us.
We want to live vicariously through Larry.
I bet Larry's probably going, yeah, I wonder if the guys would trade me a job for the day. Another job. You know, it's always that way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think of it that way. I think Larry wants to do this show and wants us to take over his film career, you know, producing, directing.
Of course. Sure. Why not? He doesn't want to do this anymore.
Hey, we could have done The Stooges because we covered most of that material here on this show. Matter of fact, the brothers that directed it might have stole our material. We should look into that. Oh. Yeah.
They stole the stuff we stole. How dare they?
I don't know. Hey, do you remember in the past, sometime in the past, over the 8 years we've done the show, you had mentioned that you grew up several times in a Pennsylvania Deutsch family, right? And you said there was different, curses and stuff, that, like warlocks and trolls and stuff, and you guys would, was it your people?
My people.
Your people. I don't know the proper term.
You call them your people.
Is it your, who you call, what do you mean, your people? Well, I'm not Pennsylvania Deutsch. I don't know. I think I'm Indian, Irish, Dutch. I don't know. Whatever else you went through. Anyway, didn't you say it's your folks that have, like, they would put signs on the barn and store?
Hex signs.
Yes. Tell us about that, because you got me interested in today's little topic I'm going to talk about.
Well, it's interesting. When you go into any Pennsylvania Deutsch town, you drive through, you always see those pentagrams and pentacles hanging on people's barns. And they're basically there to ward off evil spirits, but you get different ones as you go. I remember as a kid, the one we had hanging over our barn had heads of animals on it.
What?
And years later, I found out that those were there to promote fertility, which I wish I'd known before I brought my first girlfriend up to the hayloft.
I thought you said you bought your first girlfriend. I didn't know what you Pennsylvania Deutsch were up to. Is that arranged marriages in that clan or tribe?
Hey, it's Pennsylvania Deutsch, man. Our family tree is about one branch.
It goes straight out, baby.
Oh, good grief.
Charlie Brown loves it. Thanks, Charlie. Yeah, it goes straight out. Just one branch. But you would put those things up there, so that I would imagine that's been passed down generation to generation. Your dad didn't make it up, right?
No, actually, my father wasn't the Pennsylvania Deutsch one. My mother was. My father was a Dutch farmer.
Dutch farmer. So is the thing about putting the pentagrams on the board and all that stuff. Is it, was it your mom's idea or your dad's?
It was actually, since my father had was fostered out as a child, the same as I was, to another family, so that I could, you know, my father got ill, I went and lived with another family. His same thing with his childhood. His mother got ill, he went and lived with another family.
Right.
And, long story. You know, in his case, he worked on another farm to pay his way for being with the foster family.
Right, right.
When that happened, he learned the Pennsylvania Deutsch system of doing things. So he had a stronger following of the Pennsylvania Deutsch than my mother, even though she had been raised in that tradition.
Yeah, like a...
Marsha.
It's a very sad story.
It's so sad.
You cry, baby.
Bring everybody down now. Just think, if I hadn't had that childhood, I wouldn't have grown up to have this wonderful, fabulous...
I was raised a poor black man. Remember that in The Jerk, the movie? I was born a poor black man.
In a white man's body.
Yeah, well, he didn't know that in The Jerk. Remember, his mom told him,
right.
We didn't have the heart to tell you. There was no mirrors in the house. Anyway, that's classic entertainment. That's how I get off. I like that kind of stuff. Anyway, Demon Hunter, I was looking today. I was out in the backyard, and I thought about you. Actually, a dog was taking a crap, and I looked over, and I said, oh, Nathan. No, I'm kidding. I seen a blackbird. I don't know if it was a crow or a raven. I don't know how to tell the difference. Most likely a crow, since I'm out here in the cornfields of Indianapolis, Indiana. No cornfields, really. I'm on the outskirts of the city, guys. But
Sean has not been put into the cornfield yet.
And I remember one of our guests, man, had told me that a crow, it plays a role. There's some kind of sign if you see this crow and it looks at you for any period of time. And this thing stared at me like for like 5 minutes, and I was moving around.
Was this regarding a message from the other side, or was this regarding one of our UFO guests mentioning how
I don't know.
People who have animals stare at them might have been abducted?
I don't remember all the guests. I don't know.
Oh, you're dealing with lost time, too. Yeah. Okay, see? Lost time and an animal staring at you.
Aliens.
Okay, we're dealing with a...
alien blackbird. Yeah.
Alien
I don't know.
Blackbird. That sounds like an album.
I just thought for a minute, like the movie The Crow, you know, there's something significant about the crows bringing the dead or whatever. I'm telling you. Anyway, I was messing around the studio and I was cleaning up because it's always filthy down here. And no, it's not. It's actually really clean, guys. But I was looking up
My studio is the one that's a mess.
Yeah, I was looking up superstitions and I came across Halloween superstitions and I thought, man, it's too early for that. But I'm fiending. You know how much we love the spooky Demon Hunter. We are. Oh, yeah.
I went out to a store the other day and I saw Halloween decorations up for sale. And I was just like,
oh, they're out there. They're
it's
out.
Coming. It's coming.
We are the official host of Halloween, guys, all over the world. We're declaring that right now. Self-proclaimed.
Self-proclaimed official hosts of Halloween.
The Halloween.
Do we get a key with that?
I don't know. I
want a key to the planet.
We should call Larry up when we talk to him tonight and say, Larry, what are you doing? We've been in none of your flicks, man, and we're the official men of Halloween. No?
That's right.
I don't get it. One of my all-time favorites is Trick or Treat, but we're not going to get on that. ADD is kicking in. We got to stay on top of here, Demon Hunter. Halloween.
You made your coffee just before you started the show, didn't you?
Yes, we'll say coffee. Anyway.
Oh, you only make me nervous when I drank it.
Play it again. What here? Sling Blade me.
Sling Blade you?
Yeah, do it.
Oh, kind of make me nervous when I drank it.
Thanks, Carl. That's a great movie. I love it, man. Anyway, Halloween superstitions, I was looking it up. I can't wait, guys. You're getting it now. You'll probably get it for the Halloween spooktacular show we'll do. But I was going over the list. You know, Halloween's a time when common superstitions, folklore, myths, and omens seem to carry more weight. And it talks about, you know, all over the world, people kind of pause for the calls. Well, not the places that... I think Greenland, stuff like that, don't have Halloween, I think. But the Netherlands, I don't know.
Well, different countries have their own form of the tradition.
Yeah, well, whatever. If you don't have Halloween, something's not right with your country. Move. But I'm just saying. But if you're there and you're a fan of our show, we love you and your country. Yeah, buddy. Anyway.
Keep listening to us in Manila. We love you in Manila.
A lot of superstitions around Halloween, and we've always talked about that in the past, brother, that around Halloween, I love to smell the burning leaves, and the shadows get longer, and the nights get longer, and the you know, things come out at night. It just feels. There's electricity in the air, man. And I was looking at these superstitions, and I'm going to read some to you, Demon Hunter. I'm going to let
okay,
you pick.
I'm ready.
All right. The first one up to bat on superstitions and lore is...
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
It's a fake.
Bats.
Okay.
It says, if you see bats flying around your house on Halloween, inside or out, it is a sign of... I'm going to let you pick this. You got three choices here.
Okay, go ahead. Hit me with the choices.
It is A, the demonic forces in your home.
Okay.
B, a stranger is coming to your house.
Okay.
Or C, you're going to come into money.
Okay.
Or D, it's a sign of ghosts and spirits nearby.
Well, I'm going to go with D.
Oh, my God. You got it. That's because I took too long on it. See, it was in my voice. You were reading my voice.
I was reading your voice. It's that's part of my skill, Sean, to read your voice. We've been doing this for 8 years. I should be able to read your voice by now.
You're a cheat, my friend. A cheat. Black cats, Demon Hunter. Black cats.
Black cats. By the way, that one about someone you don't know coming to visit, that's a broom falling over in your house.
Well, so we might cover that. Why are you going to ruin the segment?
Sorry.
We fight for topics here for the first 30 minutes, and let's see here. Black cats, Demon Hunter. Black cats, which I think you have one, right?
I do. His name is Poe.
Oh, yeah, Poe Cat. Black cats had often been identified as witches' familiars. I don't know. As witches' familiars. Crossing paths with a black cat on Halloween could be a sign, Demon Hunter, of a witch nearby. If you heard a black cat on Halloween, and you'll have... If you heard a black cat on Halloween, you'll have blank years of bad luck. Okay? Here you go. Three choices. If you heard a black cat on Halloween, you'll have A, 3 years bad luck, B, 4 years bad luck, or C, 7 years bad luck. There you go. 3, 4, 7, my friend. Start the clock, Jimmy. I don't know what Jimmy
Well. I'm not going to go with 7 off the bat.
You're
because
not.
I think that's probably a mirror.
Out of Pepe.
But let me see here. It would probably be something about... How many years was it? 3, 4, or 7?
3, 4, and 7.
Out of Pepe.
Well, I'm going to rule out the 3-year... Or the 4-year, mainly because 3s and 7s are more magical numbers.
Yes, yes.
So I'm going to go with 3 years.
You're going to go with 3 years. Uh-oh.
Oh. Hey, Sean, you know what that means.
I do know. Go ahead and tell him, brother.
Hey, folks, if you're listening to us on 102.7 The Hog, that means it's time for us to take a quick break. If you're listening to us live right now or on a podcast, it doesn't make a difference. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're back, guys. Welcome back to the one, the only mystifying oracle of radio, your Wayford Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. And we're right in the middle of talking about these breaks, man. They come at the worst time. We're right in the middle of talking about superstitions because I seen a blackbird out back today. I don't know if it was a crow or a raven. Don't be calling in and flooding our email and Twitter accounts that we don't check. But we will start, I promise. I do post the show.
So I was saying, Sean, I think that hearing a black cat on Halloween will give you 3 years bad luck.
You said 3 years bad luck. Is that your final answer, sir?
I'm going to go with it.
The answer. The final answer. If you heard a black cat on Halloween, you'll have how many years of bad luck? 7, sir. 7. 7
well,
years.
I guess everything is 7 bad years bad luck if it happens on Halloween, huh?
If a black cat meows, Demon Hunter, on your porch or near a window, a death will soon occur in the family.
On Halloween?
No, it just says a death.
Out of Pepe!
Yeah, soon in the family will occur.
Okay.
Candle snuffing, Demon Hunter, is the next one. If a candle lighted as part of a ceremony blows out, so that would be like lighting a pumpkin, right? Ceremony, kind of?
Well, it's more of lighting a circle or an altar, but
that's
go ahead.
That's more up your field. If a candle lighted as part of a ceremony blows out, it is a sign that blank spirits are nearby. One, good, evil, That's it. Two. You get two choices. Good or evil. The other one's colorful. A snappy dresser spirit.
Well, see, now it's a, now it's a 50-50 choice. I never win the 50-50 choices.
Yeah, good and evil,
if a candle is blown out, never a good sign if a candle on an altar blows itself out, and you should never blow it out yourself. So I'm going to say evil.
Evil is the correct answer. If a candle snuffs itself out,
I'll punch you in the mouth.
I won't do that, but it's an evil demon.
Ah.
Yeah. Evil spirit.
Evil spirit.
Yeah. Cemeteries. If you hold your breath, Demon Hunter, while you drive by a cemetery, you know this one, right? We've all heard it from when we was kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because we used to be on the bus. You know, if you hold your breath while you drive by a cemetery, you can breathe now. Evil spirits can't enter your body.
Right.
Yeah. When passing a graveyard or a house when someone has died, turn your pockets. Did you know this?
I did not. I do kind of remember hearing this.
You don't remember. When passing a graveyard or a house where someone has died, turn your pockets inside out to make sure you don't bring home a ghost in your pocket.
Pocket ghost.
What do you think about that? Don't they sell those? Oh, no, that's pocket at the adult store.
Bring out your dead!
They don't sell pocket ghosts at the adult stores.
You're thinking of something else there, Sean. Stay out of that store with the newspaper over the windows.
Oh, it's terrible. Pocket. We're going to get ran off FM. Hey, we didn't say it, though. We can lead up to anything. We just can't. Right?
We can insinuate, however, we cannot state.
Anyway, someone dies, you go past the house, turn your pockets inside out to make sure you don't bring home ghost in your pocket. Okay? There's an old superstition that says the body which is put in the first grave, dug in a new graveyard, is always claimed by the devil. Did you know that, Demon Hunter?
I did not.
See?
I'll punch you in the mouth.
Coffins, it is said that anyone who lies in a coffin, even for fun, is inviting death. And that no item of clothing belonging to a living person should ever be placed on a corpse when it is placed in a coffin. For as it rots in the grave, so will the rightful owner decline towards death.
Okay, I can see that superstition. That sounds like something my family would believe in.
Yeah, I would see that. I mean, I could see, you know, I don't think it's in any way true, but who am I to question the ancient traditions, ancient legends, or whatever they're called. See, I don't know what to say. I don't want to make anything mad out there. Legends, myths. Anyway, crossroads, Demon Hunter. If you go to the crossroads at Halloween, apparently any crossroad, and listen to the wind, which it's going to be very hard, guys, in the city, because you want to listen for truck noises if you're in the crossroads. Not the wind. But anyway, if you go to crossroads at Halloween and listen to the window, you will learn all the... Wait. Listen to the wind. You will learn all the most important things that will befall you during the next 12 months.
Okay.
In the wind. Huh? You got anything?
I'll go for that.
We have some more. I know we're running out of time here, but we got some more on that. Witches, put your clothes on inside out. Now, you've heard this one, yeah?
If you put your clothes on inside out and walk backwards.
Yes. On Halloween night to meet a witch, it says.
I've heard that. I got a few dates that way.
Oh, my God. That's how I met my ex-wife. Ah!
Oh.
It's terrible. We have fun.
You have a funny accent, though, because when you first told me about her, the word witch sounded more like... Oh, never mind.
Sound like wind. Anyway, wind or Halloween night, on Halloween night, it is believed that those people who are destined to die within a year will hear a sigh that is carried by the wind which blows over the feet of the dead. And the feet of the dead. The wind which blows over the feet of... How does it blow over the feet of the dead when the dead's in the ground?
Well, I think they mean over their graves.
Here's one for you. Warding off spirits, Demon Hunter. Apparently your family was wrong. Not the talisman hanging on the barn. You should walk around your home three times backwards and counterclockwise. Apparently witches and ghosts like this stuff. You walk around backwards, counterclockwise, naked, holding both rear end cheeks. No, I'm kidding. I added that. Walk around three times backwards and counterclockwise before sunset on Halloween to ward off evil spirits.
Dun dun dun.
Burning a candle inside a jack of the lantern on Halloween keeps evil spirits and demons at bay. Everybody knows that. But yeah, that's it. There's a couple more. I'll go ahead and mention those next week. Everybody's probably fell asleep. But the guy, it's important, guys. We're looking out for
you. Stopped asking me questions, so there was no tension anymore.
Yeah. See? But, you know, and another thing, the garlic. Everybody thinks that garlic, you know, wards off vampires. But it's not just for that. It also wards off evil spirits around the house. Just like in Salem's Lot. Well, I guess that was... That was vampires, wasn't it?
That was vampires.
I just watched that, the original one, the other day. God, what a great...
The original's the best. The original's the best.
Oh, it was the best. Even though the scene where the, you know, the vampire fades away was kind of... And then the his girlfriend was... I don't care. I would have been a vampire because at the end, when they go to Guatemala or whatever, and he goes, they found us again, and the holy water lights up in his hand. His chick, that chick that he was in love with, she was smoking hot, even as a vampire. Even though she had black eyes and fangs, I would have been gone. I would have joined the dark forces. I'm not that strong, folks. I couldn't. I just wondered. That's crap, because most men in, would have been like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. My life expectancy is probably not that long anyway. What the heck? What do you think? What do you got, Nate? You got anything interesting? Laughing at my stuff. What about you? You got anything... that I can laugh at.
About Halloween or just in general?
In general, like, you know.
Anything. You know, my basic life has been hectic lately, but I did get my house was attacked by a band of ravenous raccoons last night.
Oh, I heard this story. Actually, I was on the phone with you.
You were on the phone with me, and all of a sudden my wife was calling my name. And, you know, I'm up here in a soundproof room, folks, and if I was able to hear her going, I just, in the background, I kept hearing, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, okay, I've got a ghost, okay. But no, it was her calling from outside the soundproof room. And I go running downstairs to find out what was wrong. And our house is being attacked by raccoons. And when I tried to chase them away, I guess I should have closed the door when I went out to chase them away. Because they thought, oh, there must be food in there, and headed for my house. And,
right.
I think they were actually just an advertisement for the new movie Guardians of the Galaxy coming out.
I think so, too. What is that, a bump? Hey, all right, not to interrupt. Go ahead, Nathan. I didn't want to interrupt.
I was just saying. I don't think they were actually attacking my house. They were just an advertisement for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think so. That's going to be a good flick, and our good friend, Maiko's in it.
Mike Rooker's in it. Yes, he is.
And we've talked to Mike, and Mike has assured us that he will be back on, guys. We've got some big prizes, surprises coming for you in the fall or around. So stay tuned. Don't we, Demon Hunter, huh?
That sounds good to me.
We got some big prizes for you guys. You need to make sure that you're going to our Twitter or our Facebook, and you see our guest on there, guys. Come on, we put up the poster like a week before time. If you have questions for the guest, feel free to post them on our Facebook or Twitter. Nathan and I check it during the week. Please don't wait during the show to ask. But if you do have one here and there, go ahead and shoot it out. But don't get mad if we don't get to it because, you know, we've done our research and we have all these questions and stuff in front of us. And, you know.
And then we get going off on a tangent, and we start asking them, you know, what it was like when they were 5 years old living with their uncle.
Yeah.
And they used to play find the teacup and the blanket and arms.
Is that what is find a teacup? Is that another family game? Jesus.
I thought you told me about that game.
Truth is stranger than fiction, my friend. I don't know. Hey, did you hear anything... Wait, ADD's kicking in again. What were you talking about that I said I don't want to interrupt? What was it that... Oh, Mike! Yeah, Mike, he said that he will come back on the show, and then you said, yeah, our good friend Mike Rooker, and then what did you bring up? And then I said, oh, I don't want to interrupt you. What was that?
I thought you didn't want to interrupt me when I was telling my raccoon story.
No, you've missed that. See, you've missed time. You could have possibly been alien abducted here live on the show.
Well, if I was...
Dr. Jacobs said...
I'm ready for sex.
He didn't say that.
You and all our listeners were taken at the same time.
See, everybody has been abducted. How do your bottoms feel? This is so difficult. I can't say... I got to say bottoms. And I'm going to mess up. I know it.
I just had to stop myself from the last time we had a...
I'm ready for sex.
Had guest on who was here to talk about alien abductions. I really wanted to ask those probing questions, but
probing. God, it's terrible. We probably got some new listeners tonight, Demon Hunter. You just ran them off. But if we do, and you guys are still sticking around, second half, guys, first half is always our comedy shtick that listeners around the world always tune in for. Second half hour segment from 8 to 8:30, we have our amazing guest come on. Huh? Yeah.
Well, it would be actually the third half hour of a hour and a half.
Third of a third. Hey, Demon Hunter.
Yes, sir.
Haunting at Circus in Las Vegas, my friend. Have you heard this?
I have not, but I've always wanted to go to Circus, so this is the perfect story to tell me, Sean. I'm sitting back and listening to it.
Absolutely. I choked on my own spit.
Is this in the news?
I was so excited. I choked on my own spit. No, this was a side story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, side story. You think we should read it before we go to the news?
Sure.
Okay.
I want to hear it. I have always wanted to go to Circus.
You excited?
Ever since especially since I saw Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, I've always wanted to go to Circus.
I don't want to go to Vegas. You might change your opinion after. There's a lot of mob stuff out there. I didn't say that. Nathan did. Haunting at Circus Las Vegas, Demon Hunter. Circus is one of the most unique family-friendly hotel casinos on the Las Vegas Strip. It features an enormous casino, more than 3,700 guest rooms and suites, the renowned Adventure Dome theme park, and the largest stationary circus in the entire world. With nearly 50 years under its belt and a seedy past that involves heavy involvement from known organized crime outfits, there has certainly been enough history to question whether the Circus Casino haunted hotel is haunted. The question answer is yes. Built in 1968, Circus was the innovation of one Jay Sarno. Apparently, I broke this down, guys. I took notes on it. In 1968, of course, Jay Sarno made it. He ended up borrowing, I think it was combined of $55 million from the Teamsters.
Oh, see, nowadays that $55 million would buy you a nice two-bedroom house in the country.
Union is the only way, my friend. Anyway, of course, surprise, surprise, they couldn't tie the mob connection with the Teamsters, because there was none, but his buddy... just so happened to be Anthony Spilotto, which is, drink up, guys. They don't know that yet.
I am.
We'll show you. Anyway, Mafia Anthony Spilotto, from Chicago, he was allowed, in exchange for the $55 million, to run a gift shop. Wow. I'm sure that wasn't a front of any kind. Huh? Anyway, Sarno disappeared. Oh, I'm sorry. He sunk himself into a mob-related endeavor, and it wasn't long before he was being investigated in a connection with organized crimes. There's two stories. He disappeared. One was that he hung himself.
Hanged himself.
Hung. They said you was hung, and they was right. Blazing Saddles. Mel Brooks, our good friend. Not Mel Brooks. His son's our good friend, Maxie.
Max Brooks is their friend. Mel just sat on the side and listened. Yeah.
Mel was in the kitchen listening to us while we interviewed his son. Oh, the things we claim to fame on this show. No, but anyway, room 123.
We have a lame claim to fame. We
do. Room at 123. Room 123. 123 at Circus is said to be haunted by the mother and little boy searching for their husband and the boy's father. Less believable rumors speculate that he was a dark-haired man named Robert, and that anyone staying in the room by that name, the appearance will be murdered. The appearance of that person will be murdered. Apparently that person will be murdered.
The parents of that person?
No! The person with that name of Robert will be murdered.
Ah.
So Robert's out there across the land. Don't stay in room 123 at Circus.
Yeah, unless the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter invite you to go with us on an investigation to Circus.
All Roberts will pay for you a free room, 123 at Circus, to stay for two fun-filled nights. We can buy you a ticket to the circus.
Chances are we're not going to have to pay for the second one.
That's it. We'll get a refund. More specifically, let's see here. Anyone staying in the room by the name Robert will be murdered. More specifically, hung. You said hang. Hung from the ceiling. But there is absolutely no evidence to support such a bizarre claim. Just the wild imagination of storytellers.
Huh? Well, we like storytellers. They keep us in business.
Other reports speak of disembodied voices crying in the night, in some cases screaming for help in the poker room. Who doesn't scream for help in the poker room? Jesus.
I sure scream for help in the poker room. Yeah. It's,
as well as room 203, Demon Hunter.
I've been in a room being poked by Sean before. I scream for help all the time.
It's, no, you haven't been poked by me, my friend. You got the wrong guy. Oh, jeez. You got the wrong guy. Demon Hunter, listen.
I know that laugh anywhere.
See? Demon Hunter, listeners around the world.
You're not yet.
You're not ready yet?
No, we got a minute.
We got a whole minute?
We have a whole minute.
For the news segment?
No. Well, if we're going to take a break, we have to wait about 30 more seconds.
30 more
Give
seconds.
Give me 30 seconds of material, Sean.
Hey, 30 seconds. Do you... Listen, do you guys like Airheads? I prefer Ed Heads, Orange. Jesus, man.
Jesus. We can just mispronounce words for the next 15 seconds and we'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
But folks, that's because those of you listening to us at 102.7 The Hog, we have to take a break right now so that we can be right back with you. Those of you listening to us on Action Audio Apps, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, iTunes, or any of that other fun stuff where you find us all over the place, this isn't going to affect you at all. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, where we just messed up another break. Special thanks to 102.7 FM The Hog. That's right, listeners, Stitcher Smart Radio. Huh?
Woohoo!
The new Action Audio Apps. They want to know, are you listening? Make sure you tell them at actionaudioapps.net. Huh?
Ooh.
Our buddies over at Planet Paranormal. Just so cool, man. So cool. We're sorry we ran out of material there, guys, for 30 seconds, but we have more. I was just kidding.
We have more. We have too much. We had too much to fit in the time we had left, and that's why we're going to start it right now, Sean, with...
In the news! Yes, it's always fresh. Well, not really, but it is news. It's always exciting. Not really. And it's straight off the G&D show presses, and it starts right...
now.
Oh!
Did you like that?
I did like it. You were a little slow. You're blowing...
That's what my teacher said, too.
Demon Hunter, you got the first story? You want me to?
Well, let's start by reminding folks that this is Ghostman and Demon Hunter in the news. Oh. That means weird news that we pull fresh off the presses, folks. Shit, so fresh that Sean and I haven't had a chance to read it yet. That means we're going to make a lot of mistakes. And
like
every
Mentos.
Time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's right, it's the G&D drinking game. We'd like to remind you that if you are listening to us while driving your car on 102.7 The Hog, don't play the G&D drinking game. And if you are planning on doing anything important tonight, like, say, talk to a loved one, please listen responsibly.
If you want to. All right, Demon Hunter, first in the news vault of the G&D show, in the annals of the G&D show. Annals of the G&D show. Creepy porcelain dolls resembling young girls placed in front of California homes. What do you think about this?
Okay.
This comes out of our friends. This doesn't come out of our friends. This comes from our friends at the Associated Press, Demon Hunter, San Clemente, California.
Woohoo!
Yeah. They sent a creepy feeling through several Southern California families, but authorities say the person who left porcelain dolls on doorsteps didn't mean any harm. The Orange County Sheriff...
Of course he didn't.
Yeah, that's harm enough for me. I would press charges. I'm scared of dolls. The Orange County Sheriff's Department said Thursday that someone had left the dolls wearing nightgowns and lace dresses. Some guys pay for that, don't they? I don't know. At as many as 8 homes.
How many of those have you ordered over the years, Sean?
At least 12, yeah. They're just leaving them there. They're kind of expensive. Anyway, they've left them at as many as 8 homes in a San Clemente neighborhood this week. The families were worried because they felt each doll resembled a young girl who lived in the house, setting off an investigation and call for public help in finding who had placed them. But later Thursday, the sheriff's department said it found the person responsible and the intent had been goodwill. No further details were released. Sheriff's Lieutenant Jeff Halleck told City News Service the dolls and their apparent resemblance to real girls left families feeling creepy. Yeah? Creepy porcelain dolls, guys. out in California. Freaking people, wow.
This sheriff, well, that is a little freaky, and since there's no further details released,
yeah,
you have to ask, why did he choose those eight girls to begin with?
I don't know. I mean, was it like an ESP thing? I don't know.
Did he know these people? Did he, you know, okay, now we're just full of questions.
See, yeah. I mean, that opens up. I need to talk to Lieutenant Pasco Wasco, whatever his name was. I need to know, how did this cat know to leave dolls on these? Did they know children lived there, or was it just, I mean, eight houses, Demon Hunter?
Had a loss in the family lately? Had they dealt with some kind of abuse? What's going on would leave eight dolls?
It did not say dead. It didn't say dead doll, dead kids, though.
No. But, I mean, did they lose a loved one, a grandmother, an uncle? I don't know. And what was the connection? What was the connection, Sean?
I don't know. Call the sheriff's department. They said they're not making any further comments, but they will to us.
Yes, because we are the kings of Halloween.
The kings? No, I didn't say that. The gods of Halloween, didn't I?
The gods. Oh, yeah. That's so much better than kings.
See? You're right.
Hey, Sean, state ends hunt for snake in New Jersey Lake.
Oh, that's out by you.
That's, well, it's more than out by me. It's a lake I used to swim in as a kid.
Oh!
It's the Associated Press brings us this information today. A 16-foot-long exotic snake reportedly slithering around New Jersey's largest lake is apparently a suburban legend.
Botched.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun.
Or is a snake? It's a snake that just isn't hungry.
See.
The state has stopped looking for a reptile after scientists failed to find any evidence of a Lake Hopatcong.
To the Batmobile.
That's the lake I grew up on, Sean. Lake Hopatcong.
Right. Hopatcong.
And traps baited with chicken.
Ooh.
We're, Scotty. Oh, man, I jumped a whole section. Have two drinks on me, folks. The state has stopped looking for a reptile after scientists failed to find any evidence of it in Lake Hopatcong.
Right.
And traps baited with chicken were left untouched.
Right.
Three unconfirmed sightings this month of the snake. Perhaps an anaconda as long as 16 feet raised concerns among visitors and swimmers. The state investigators erring on the side of public safety. What? What?
Nothing. I'm listening to the snake rumor here.
Yeah, you're bored of my snake rumor?
No,
dude,
I
swam in this lake as a child. And this, hey, go back and read the first edition of Weird New Jersey. This lake was said to have a monster in it.
Okay.
Mind you, it's a man-made lake. Right. So I don't know how a monster got into a man-made lake, but...
Well, kids! Those darn kids!
Kids, you know what? They flushed a monster in their toilet and ended up in the lake.
Hey, wasn't there a movie like that? Wasn't it Alligator back when we were kids called that? Remember they flushed the albino alligator or whatever?
Was it an albino? I don't know, but state wildlife experts found no scientific or biological evidence of an exotic snake in the area. The State Department of Environmental Protection spokesman Larry Ragnas said Thursday, there is no signs of droppings or skin, he said.
Oh.
So, I don't know. No monster in Lake Hopatcong, Sean.
Some people were making out on the side of the riverbank there, and the snake showed up and said,
I'm here for the gangbang.
Oh!
You're just making fun of my monster story now. You don't like my monster story.
I liked it. Hey, Demon Hunter, I was looking at the news here and something popped up on my screen. A toy was stuck in a woman's hoo-ha for 10 years.
For 10 years?
Yeah, her hoo-ha for 10 years.
How come you'd like automatically go to that story, Sean?
I said hoo-ha. Hey, did you hear that one about the? I know I'm getting off topic. Did you hear about those two? A guy was like a muscle head, and he had a real hot girlfriend, and they were caught doing
the do on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, down in Florida?
Florida, buddy. The Sunshine State.
You know, we all laugh and joke and think, boy, that must be cool to do that. But you know what? We're getting older, Sean, and we sit around and go, hey, kids are watching.
Yeah. Why are the kids watching out there?
Well, it's summer vacation. There are kids on those beaches.
Can you imagine out looking for shells? Hey, Mom, look, I found a conch shell over there. What's this one?
Oh.
No. See? Hey, what's this? Is that a jellyfish? Oh, God. Anyway, study says, back to the news, study says sniffing farts is good for you, but something doesn't smell right.
Oh, my.
Yeah, something doesn't smell right. Anyway, forget silent but deadly. How about rank but restorative?
Okay.
Ladies, listen up. Media sites recently reported news that delighted flatulence lovers. I didn't know those were out there. Scientists had published a study that said smelling farts is good for you. The only problem was reports on the study kind of stunk. You get it?
I get it.
Yeah. These guys work hard, Demon Hunter. You need to laugh. They write these up. They let us use it. Researchers at the
University... I work hard trying to laugh at your stories, but go ahead.
Researchers at the University of Exeter, drink up, guys, said that the hydrogen sulfide that we emit when we cut the cheese protects, drink up, guys, mitochondria. Wait, mitochondria. Drink, guys. Drink heavily. Well, look it up yourself if you want to know the word. Mitochondria. Well, are the cells power producers? Dr. Mark Wood, a researcher at Exeter, drink up again, guys, explained that hydrogen sulfide is the stinky component of passing gas and could, in fact, be healthcare hero with significant implications for future therapies for a variety of diseases. Maybe aromatherapy? I don't know. They say that works. Somehow, that was taken to mean that smelling farts could ward off harmful diseases. Hey, I didn't find nothing like that in the...
I don't remember learning anything like that in 8th grade science class.
Yeah, my teacher cheated me. Anyway.
I needed to know this.
But read the following before you start pounding down dried apricots and baked beans. The Guardian pointed out that the study never mentions that smelling your farts is healthy, and NBC News reinforced the skepticism. Still, that won't stop us from having some fun and a little hope. Watch the WTF video above, which is just a guy farting. Remember, it's the research is only a sniff away.
Uh-huh.
The life you save may be your own.
I don't believe it, Sean, and that's why to this day I'm glad we record in two separate studios.
See, I was going to say, you're never going to die in your studio.
Yeah. Hey.
Especially.
Sean, this isn't a really weird story. It looks like it's just one of those stories that I have pop up that I like to warn people about.
Oh!
Honeybees sting Texas man about 1,000 times.
Oh, 1,000 times? What'd he pass
out? 1,000 times. I used to hear that if you got stung 100 times, you were going to die. Isn't that what you heard as a kid?
Did he? I heard if you're allergic, you die after one.
Yeah.
Don't you remember My Girl, the movie? It's on Netflix right now.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Makes most of the girls who watch it cry.
Macaulay Culkin died from a bee sting. Now many wish it would have happened as him as an adult. Now I'm kidding.
What difference does it make? It's not like he's done anything since.
Much like us.
Much like us.
An out-of-work actor, but we, forced to work day jobs to support families, yeah.
Yeah, he's at least he probably has something tucked aside for when his parents didn't steal.
He has something tucked to the side, I'm sure.
That's all, stuff that we've heard about, folks. Of course, we don't know it's true.
Right.
Honeybees sting Texas man about 1,000 times. This is brought to us from the Associated Press, Sean.
Liar! Okay, thanks,
it's true.
Guys.
A North Texas street department worker has been stung about 1,000 times by aggressive bees that also attacked 2 co-workers who tried to help him.
Oh, no.
Wichita Falls officers blame Thursday's attack on Africanized honeybees.
Okay.
Spokesman Barry Levy, have a drink, folks.
Slam it!
says the swarm attacked the workers mowing grass along a culvert near the Weeks Park Tennis Center. He says the man was in good condition at a local hospital. Levy says 2 co-workers also were stung When they came to the man's aid, one of the workers fled to a nearby tennis center, bringing the swarm with him.
Oh,
that does sound like Africanized honeybees.
My quiet place.
Yes, one of the co-workers also was also hospitalized. Sorry, too many drinks during this game. In good condition. The other was treated and discharged. The center and nearby trail and part of the golf course remain closed until personnel confirm the bees are gone.
Okay.
Sean, you know me and bees. I can't be around bees without them stinging me. They just love me. They love to attack. They don't care. They swarm and they swarm around me and say, you know, I have a choice. I can sting this person and die or move on and live. And the bees come after me. Right. I don't know what it is. I've never done anything to a bee, but they hate me. I don't care.
You know, it's weird for a farmer to be as scared as of animals. Well,
the funny thing is I've been stung so many times, I'm not scared of them at all. I mean, it's just like they sting you and you're like, oh, great. I got stung again. The problem is I've been stung so many times that it's starting to like have an effect on me when I get stung.
Hey, I had to look this up, Demon Hunter. Toy, I'm going to leave out the SEX part. Oh, wait, I said SEX toy stuck in woman's hoo-ha for 10 years.
You had to look it up, didn't you, Sean?
I did.
I purposely left that one out of the news.
I was staring at the picture. It comes from our friends at the Huffington Post, Demon Hunter. It says, is it out yet? A 38-year-old woman, I gotta read this one slow for I won't mess up. A 30-year-old woman in Scotland who told doctors she was suffering from shaking, incontinence, and severe weight loss turned out to have a sex toy. You guessed it, guys, in the hoo-ha there, that had been there for 10 years, according to an article published in June edition of the Journal of Sexual Medicine. I'm telling you, I'm reading it careful here. We might not even be able to say hoo-ha. I don't know.
I might have to bleep you.
We might be hoo-ha'd out. The woman, who the article notes was of normal intelligence, told doctors she used a 5-inch toy in a drunken encounter a decade ago and didn't remember whether she removed it or not, the Daily Mail reported. By the time surgeons found it, the toy's effects were potentially life-threatening. It had caused a bladder blockage that was forcing urine to back up in her kidneys and had also created a... which is track that causes urine to flow into the...
Okay, yeah. We
yikes! Got oh, my God, you see the x-rays. Look it up, guys. It's horrific. Oh, and then there's one about what your garbage man knows about you. That's next week. That'll be good.
That'll be a good one. Hey, Sean, remember when we were talking about the alligator flush down the sewers?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out a tortoise may be an accomplice to an alligator zoo escape.
See? This might be a plot that Larry would like to know tonight. You never know.
The tortoise and the alligator. It's a new story for kids. No, from the Associated Press, an owner of a zoo in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Have a drink, folks. A 12-inch alligator has escaped, possibly with the help of a tortoise. TV stations WWTV-WWUP and WPBN-WTOM
and ICUP
M5.com report the alligator's name is Carlos.
Bill, are you in?
Carlos got out of an enclosure over the weekend at the Graylin Zoo near... Oh, gosh, here we go. Newbinway. There we go. I'm saying no drink on that one, folks. Stop drinking right now.
Yeah.
He was spotted by people nearby who called police. He wasn't caught, though.
Oh.
Associated Press says he wasn't caught. Gary Moore, who runs the zoo, and his wife say he suspects the alligator slipped under the fence. Moore says a large turtle... that walks into the area that had moved away some dirt, and Carlos was given the chance to escape. The Graylin Zoo is the home for 100 animals, including adult alligators. Anyone who spots Carlos is to ask police for help or contact the zoo.
You know what that sound is, Demon Hunter? That's time for us to pause for the cause for 102.7 FM The Hog. Guys, tonight's guest, Larry Fessenden. Tonight's band, Sam Bennett, Demon Hunter.
Ooh.
Yeah, name of the song, Devil on the, what is that? Devil on the Level. Huh? We'll be right back, guys. Actor, director, producer, Larry Fessenden. Demon Hunter?
Sean, what's our music this evening?
What I just said.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't hear you over the music on this end. Sorry.
Sam Bennett, the song, Devil on the Level. Guys, we'll be right back.
Take everything you got. Crawl across town on your hands and knees. Make you go to Alabama. Make you lose your keys. I know, but I'm talking about the devil. Woo! People, I'm on the level. Just like that. Gave me his coat, gave him my hat. He loaned me $10 for a bottle of wine. I introduced him to a friend of mine. I mean a devil. Ooh, people, I'm on the level. Talking about the devil. The devil rolls dice, lives down the street from Jesus Christ. Once heard them having an argument, yeah. Devil said, Jesus, go get bent. I'm talking about the devil. Oh, Lord, I'm on the level. Talking about the devil. Oh, wow, I'm on the level. Played Sun City, and I reckon we won't. I play a didgeridoo made from an old bassoon, and the devil on drums, it sounds just like Keith Moon. I mean the devil. Oh, I mean the ooh, I'm on the level. Talking about the devil. Heading out today. Maybe we'll see you along the way. One of us be carrying a big pitchfork somewhere between Georgia and East New York. I said the devil. Oh. Wah! On the level.
Come back here. This is Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Welcome back, Shatter Nation, to the one, the only mystifying oracle of radio, baby. Your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, Demon Hunter.
Hey, Sean, we had a slight problem with the phone line there with Larry. I'm calling him back right now. We're doing that, would you do our legend for the week?
Hey, we could do the legend, but let's do another song real quick while you get Larry on, and how about that?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back, guys. Audio difficulties, get ready. Here comes Larry.
The devil may kill and the devil may make you lose your keys, I know. But I'm talking about the devil. Woo! People, I'm on the level.
Shadow Nation to the one, the only mystifying oracle of radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Special thanks to tonight's independent artist, Sam Bennett. Good friend of the show. Song was Devil on the Level. Thought he was talking about our show there, Demon Hunter.
Said we're probably knows us well.
Yeah, he probably does. But tonight's guest, I'm honored. Usually it's an honored guest, but I'm an honored host. Tonight's guest, guys, winner of the 1997 Spirit Award, director and editor of the award-winning art horror trilogy, Habit. Tonight, actor, director, producer, and a bunch of other stuff, Larry Fessenden stops by from the, or he's actually in studio, from the movies, Wendigo, The Last Winter, I Sell the Dead, one of my personal favorites, and I'm going to let him list the rest of for you guys tonight, because there's like 10 billion. Please help us welcome.
That's going to be the show this evening, Sean. Just a list of shows.
Larry's just going to go through his shows. Yeah, I did that. I've done that. This is what I'm going to do next week. Guys, help us welcome to studio Larry Fessenden. Larry, what's going on, buddy?
Hey there, guys. What's cooking?
Jesus, we got you on.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Sean. We had one of those internet snafus, and Larry caught it, not me. And you know, because he's the professional. So we just, we fixed it right there.
Well, he's the director. He's doing,
I'm here to get your act in order, guys. So let's get going there.
That's it, baby. Hey, Larry, you know, I wanted to start out. Everybody asks you about the movies, and you've been on all these shows going, hey, we love you. You do this. You already know I love you. I talked to you before the show. I love the style, the retelling you do of the stories you do. I mean, new look, old feel. How do you do that? How do you put those into these movies nowadays?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I watched all the old black and white horror movies. I'm kind of an old timer by many standards, you know, and that's what I grew up watching. But then I also, in the 70s, liked the more realistic, edgy stuff, which was mainstream entertainment in those days, like Taxi Driver or something. So, yeah. And I just sort of started making my own movies that have old, like werewolves or, you know, Frankenstein themes, but then they had a more modern sensibility. So it's just, it came from the movies that I loved and was influenced by, and that's sort of this new brand of scary movies that I make.
Right. Hey, I was always wondering, in the movie The Entity, you've seen that, that's a classic, right?
Yeah.
How do you think they made her boobies move? You remember when they had the handprints on it? I've always wanted to know that. Special effect.
I bet you have always wanted to know that.
I have, since a young boy.
But I wouldn't want to spoil it.
Come on, Larry.
That's something you got to keep on thinking about it. You figure it out.
The other thing Sean wanted to know was, how did they get a woman to take her top off? Because he's never been able to do that either.
Oh, it's nice.
I know, man. Well, that's why they call it mystery movies, because there's some things that you can't quite understand.
See? Yeah. I was just watching, I introduced my little nephew last night to I Sell the Dead, because all your stuff's all over Netflix, dude. They got it everywhere, as they should. And he told me at the end, he said, is that guy going to eat him? You know, you pull your head off and you're chasing him. So you gave him bad dreams all night, Larry. I just want to say, kudos, brother. Two thumbs up. Because you chased him.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, that's a great little piece. We got a Ron Perlman in there and Angus Scrimm from Phantasm. And we just had a blast. It's a really little film, but it looks big and it's a real romp. We're hoping to make a sequel. We're working on it. We're going to see if it's possible to get everybody together again. Wow. You know, these things take time.
Oh, yeah. But that was a classic. Guys, if you haven't seen I Sell the Dead, top 10. Top 10, baby, because it's got that old school, you know, creeping around the graveyard feel to it. Dark night, fog on the moors, you know, and then you got Willie Grimes. And that, of course, Larry played Willie Grimes, one of my favorite characters of all time. How do you, because you played so many, I mean, in Jugface, in Jugface, I just watched it the other day. It's Jugface or Jughead, right? Jugface.
Oh, Jugface.
Yeah.
Well, Jughead's a totally different kind of movie.
Well,
there,
I think it started out as Jughead, and then it went Jugface. I don't know. But awesome flick, man. How do you get into the... I know you're an actor, but how do you feel when you get into these different characters, man? Is it just you? You just twist it a little bit? Because you seem so connected to these characters.
That's what every actor wants to hear, man. You know, you read the script and you try to find the truth in it, and then you, my big thing is, even if you play a villain, you gotta believe, like all the crazy people out there, that you're right, you know, and so you play it sympathetic. And it's cool, because if you're playing a villain, but the character believes what he's doing is okay, it makes a much more twisted movie than somebody's trying to play evil. So, I mean, I'm a nice guy in Jugface, but, You have to look at the script and see what is real and then try to play that. It's fun. I've always liked being a character actor. I didn't get the leading man role, so you take what you can get.
Yeah. I was going to ask you. There's different types of actors all over the place. We've done TV, but we've never, you know, we've been cast as ourselves. You know how that goes. But...
At least you show up. That's what I would say when I cast myself. I'm like, I know I'll show up.
Yeah, I'll be there somewhere, baby. But they, I don't see you being like a, and I'm not, Christian Bale, don't get mad, but they show Christian Bale. I know it was real bad. He was in his trailer. He came out, and remember the sound guy had messed up something. He's like, you know, you need to think about what you're doing. Have you ever, you're not that kind of actor, right? You don't sit in your trailer. If somebody gets into a shot or something, you're like, I'm going to rip their head off. I don't see you like that.
No, and besides, you can't really pull that attitude when you're just a smaller role. Christian, he said that he was in character. I've always wondered about that. I've never heard that he's a dick. Can I say that?
Yeah.
In his other movies. But it's weird, man. There's all types. And I'm just grateful to be on a set and really excited by all the aspects, because I like to direct. So I'm always engaged with the whole process, even if I'm just the actor. So I just don't take the time to get huffy puffy. You got to stand for your rights as an actor. If there's just if there's some major distraction that's actually going to screw up your work, you got to kindly say, "Dude, do you mind moving? Because you're completely in my way." Yeah.
Shut up.
So just how you handle yourself. It's everybody does it differently.
Right. I don't know. What do you think, Nathan?
Well, I've got this whole theory about being in character. And, I've heard this argument before. When Dustin Hoffman did Rain Man, his producer got angry with him because they went out to lunch and he wouldn't break character. So they sat down to lunch at like a fancy restaurant and Dustin Hoffman was still pulling the Rain Man. so I understand that, having studied some theater. I get that aspect of it. But then again, when was Batman like an angry, mean monster of a guy towards the common folk? So what?
No, but it wasn't. It wasn't Batman. It was what was it? It was in a franchise. What was that movie?
Yeah, it was different.
Was it Terminator? Some sort of Terminator?
Oh, okay.
Movie?
Public Enemy, wasn't it?
Was it Public Enemy?
Yeah. No.
No.
Oh, well, we got to do our research before we go on the air.
I tell you, Sean, you threw us a curve.
Why change the show now, Lair? Why? Why do the research?
The Dustin Hoffman thing, those producers should have laid off because, that's an example of just a frivolous luncheon that got in the way of somebody's doing their thing. And I think the producer should have been fine with that. You hardly have to break a movie to go out and have a polite lunch. So I'm on Dustin's side there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, well, whatever.
In a show, and I was once on a TV show, and the director, on TV, it's actually the actors, the writers, and the cameramen who are on every show regularly that have all the power. And I had this director, and the only guy he could really direct was me because I was just a small-time day player. And I always remember I was playing kind of the retarded newspaperman. The direction was, can you do it more, Rayman?
Newspaper!
And then, of course, Sean was sitting here going, you did a movie about me. See? Yay.
We're going to sue you, Larry. Yeah. No, but the thing about the movies you get, and we were talking about how you capture that old school feel to it. But even like, with your scariest movie, there's always comedy, man. And that's a heck of it. Yeah. When you're writing these stories or assisting in writing and producing them. When you cast these people, you can't tell them to be funny. You can't tell them when to be funny. How do you direct that? How do you say, okay, guys, make this one kind of light? And how do you do it?
Well, each movie's different. I Saw the Dead always had a light touch. It's sort of about, these British grave robbers, and there's an element of the absurd in it. Some of the other films, more serious movies that I've been part of, like House of the Devil or The Innkeepers, the comedy there comes out of just human nature, and it's really important, I think, if you're doing horror to have that other aspect, because that's how life is. There's always something absurd going on.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to show that, and it also disarms the audience, so then a scare has more punch, so it's really just every movie's different. Every director that I work with, or if I'm making my own films, you always want to get some I feel like life is absurd.
Yeah.
Even as it is possibly sometimes scary, but mostly it's just absurd.
Now, one thing, Larry, I've noticed over the years, Sean and I hopping on different TV sets.
Yes.
I've learned that the directors listen to what you say and the producers don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you discovered this as point. Well? One of my favorite things that ever happened to Sean and I, and Sean, tell me if you remember this afterwards. Sean and I are sitting there talking about how we're supposed to like walk into a room or something, and this was for something on the side that we were doing as a side project. And the director looks at us and says, have you guys, or no, the producer looks at us and says, have you guys seen The Hangover?
Yeah.
And at the time, we hadn't seen The Hangover yet. And we go, no, we haven't seen it. You know, we've been traveling. And he goes, okay, I want you to be funny like that.
Yeah, but that's just like my Rain Man story. I mean, first of all, you can't direct by telling people to act like other movies, or worse yet, a producer telling you to do something to imitate a success so that they're thinking, they're seeing dollar signs when they make a comment like that. It's just, but then you're not getting the actor or any of the team to respond to real life. Just to say we're going to imitate an existing piece, I just don't find that very compelling direction, personally.
I don't either.
So, you know, but they're all types on a set. And often the money men are the least... Oh, how can I say it delicately? Because I still need their help.
See?
So do we.
That's right. Hey, there are great producers out there, and those people are the ones taking the risks and getting behind projects that aren't exactly like The Hangover. You know, in other words, that aren't like cookie-cutter repeats.
Yes.
Even the guy who made The Hangover was creative because he said, let's do this wacky thing no one's seen before. You know, that's what you really look for in a producer, people who are pioneers, going to go out there and forge new terrain. That's what's exciting.
That's what you got, Larry. And that's good you brought that up. And I'm not kissing butt here. Everything you do has a different twist on it. Like, we got into the paranormal television. We're comedians / blue collar whatevers, right? So we wanted to bring that in, and we said, listen, we do comedy. Based on this show that we've done for 8 years, they cast us, and they said, okay, we love what you guys do. We signed the sheet. They said, hey, don't be funny. So, you know, it was like, what is that, a ghost? What could this be? I mean, we didn't know what to do, so it still wound up okay. But you do something different every time. Why do a lot of
I just love that story. It's like there's a play in New York called I Love You Now Change. It's trying to talk about how women are fickle. But the point is that's like,
well,
why did they get you guys there?
Right.
You know, and then ask you to change what was working. It's just all these mysteries in showbiz. And people think they're going to just take your talent and they're going to mold it. Rather than listen and build on what you've got started, you know, this is so maybe I'm answering your question. I like to listen to what the intention of the material is and strengthen it by getting the best team possible. And through that, you end up making something unique. And if you're lucky, the audience will respond and like it. Doesn't always work, just to be clear.
Hey, Sean, we've got to take that quick 2-second break right now for the listeners over at 102.7 The Hog. For the rest of you, we'll be right back after this.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to your Mystifying Oracle of Radio, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, where we are joined by one of my favorite actor, director, producers, writers, you name it. Great guy, Larry Fessenden. And we're right in the middle of the interview, so come on in. Larry, the radio.
Hey, huh? Great to be here.
Yeah, the radio show, Beyond Tales from Beyond the Pale, man, let's talk about that, because radio is a little something we know about, but tell us about it. I love it.
Well, the irony is, of course, we've never been on the radio. We've been on the radio to promote Tales, but we actually, they've never been broadcast, but what they are is these fantastic little half-hour audio dramas, and we throw in all the bells and whistles. There's great sound effects and music and a real sense of atmosphere. And each tale is different, and I'm the host, and I bring you into it, and then you get into a little story, and they're really challenging, wonderful, spooky tales. And most of them are directed by different filmmakers who, you know, are out of work or waiting around for a project to greenlight. And so they're made with great craft and love by these guys, all our comrades in the business, and it's been really cool. We've had people like Ron Perlman and Vincent D'Onofrio, Doug Jones, Mark Margolis, Angus Scrimm, and then also a team of lesser-known names, but also really great voice talent. They're really fun. There's 2 seasons we've done.
Hey, brother, Nathan and I could hold the sheet metal and shake it for the thunder.
Totally, man, totally. It's the best. We got a wind machine and my wife built, you know, and you crank that and it's like,
good stuff. I remember Honeymoon.
Old-timey, you know, it's not old-timey. They're actually quite modern, and some of them are really very nasty, and some of them are a little more humorous. It's a great flavor, all types of things going on.
You know, I count two of my great loves in life to
gladiators and
to a day that I spent where my mom took me to a friend's house, and she had three teenage daughters, and I was about seven when I went there.
Oh.
And these girls,
hold on, where's this story going?
They were gorgeous girls, and I just remember staring at them for several hours, I think it was, at least in a kid's time, it was several hours. And
right.
So there came my love of, like, beautiful women.
You were going, what's that shameful feeling?
When our moms went off the talk, I was sitting there with three teenage girls. I'm 7 years old. There's nothing we have in common. And I had brought my tape recorder with me, and we wound up doing a recording where we did our own version of telling a story of, I think it was Little Red Riding Hood. I remember that. And
cool.
We did all the sound effects and everything for it as we went. And there came my love of radio when I did that. And,
you said, I got to go to the bathroom.
Your new partner isn't quite as pretty, but that's
no.
Life.
Well, that's why I make him wear makeup, you know.
Hey, all the girls walked in, Larry and Nathan said, I got to go to the bathroom real quick.
I was seven. I don't know when you started, Sean.
Whatever. I had some hot babysitters, my friend. Start young.
It's a great story, though. I mean, you know, there's something really special about doing audio-only stuff, because then you can, like, even the story you just told, I can picture those three gals. They're perfect in my mind. I don't know your version. You know, it's a great thing to just work with sound and dialogue and paint a picture that each audience member is sort of having their own experience. It's cool, and it's a lot cheaper than hiring special effects and CGI.
It's perfect.
To this day, one of the things I do every October, I go up to a cemetery with my friends. We have cocktail hour up at the cemetery. And one of the things we do is put in those old Boris Karloff story cassettes where he did a similar thing, where he did a radio show where he introduced a story and they did a whole, like, macabre story.
Absolutely. That's how we, it was Karloff himself. We were listening to one of those old tales in a car with me and my friend Glenn, who is my partner in this project. And we said, Glass Eye Picks, which is the name of my little company, we should do radio plays. Why wouldn't we? And then we just rolled up our sleeves and got into this and invited a bunch of filmmakers and writers to help us put them together. And it's really this nice ongoing series where we get to always have that in the background. And you think of a story and you're like, you know, I'm going to make that in a half-hour show.
And I think, you know, I, again, owe this to my mom. She was the one who bought me that tape player and told me to get into broadcasting. She said, Nathan, you have the voice for broadcasting and the face for radio.
She also bought you the she also bought you the dress, did she not?
Funny how many people of different ages, I don't even know how old you guys are, but different generations that had some kind of experience like that. So people still respond to the idea of these old radio plays, even if they grew up, you know, in the 90s. A lot of people have had some kind of childhood memory. I used to listen to this Alfred Hitchcock record where he comes on and he introduces a series of short stories. Some of them are very brief, but some of them were longer. And you could sit there for hours and look at the cover and listen to these stories.
Yeah, well, it takes us back to the old days. So I'm 38. Nathan's right around the same age. A little bit older.
I'm a little older.
Yeah, but, you know, it takes us back to the days with the ABC Weekend Special, you know, with the open a book and it would do the thing. One of the first scary stories ever seen was the Red Room Riddle about a ghost and his dog. Saturday morning cartoons, Friday night horror host. We just had Sven Gulli on a couple weeks ago, and he's the big one. We miss that. And when people hear stuff like what you're doing, it takes you back. It transports you back to a better time, you know?
Well, tell your listeners to go to Tales from Beyond the Pale, EALE.com, and there's a couple of them that are on there for free you can listen to in the listening room. And if you're turned on, then you can download them for almost nothing on the YouTubes there or wherever.
Ooh.
Do I need to tell them again,
Tales
Larry?
Tales from the Pale. See, we don't have to tell them. You just told them.
Yes.
And they will go and they will listen because we said so.
Hey,
good. I like that. That's good. What else can we tell these folks to do? Hey, listen, I wanted to mention, like you told me, you know, when you were there with those gals and you were 7 years old and you played the record, the tape player. It's cool that you did Red Riding Hood, and that's like the first question you guys asked was like, well, what are you doing updating these stories? And what I think is cool is to look at a story as simple as Red Riding Hood and to think about how can we retell this so it's, you know, we can sort of re-experience the power of this little tiny old story. And that's very often what inspires me in my my storytelling, is to think about, like I said, like a werewolf story or something, and put it in the present day so it feels really vibrant. It's a great, and then you can kind of bring these old things that you enjoy back to life.
The Flick Beneath. Awesome, guys. You can check it out anywhere. It's all over Netflix right now, too. The name of the movie's Beneath. I can't tell you the whole thing, but it feels like Tales from the Crypt Part 2, when the teenagers swam out to that platform and the big black greasy mass was eating them up, and Jaws mixed together. Did that come to
the mind? The Raft, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those are both obvious influences. I mean, Jaws has always been my favorite movie. Even as I get older, I saw that in the theater. That's how old I am. And I just, I love that story. And of course, the characters in my movie, there's a giant fish in the lake. It's a real pulpy little piece. I did it for Chiller TV. It's really fun because there again, I just took it quite seriously. I have the actors playing it straight and it just gives it a weird tone. And then we had a real fish made, which is really fun in this day and age. When you see a little film like that, but that has the balls to have a real,
that's right,
physical puppet. I think it's a fun little movie, man. I hope maybe some of your folks would enjoy it.
All of them will enjoy it.
Or something. It's not quite sarcastic. It's pretty straight-laced. It's a nasty little story about how the kids are pretty bad to each other.
Oh, yeah.
But I've always been a fan of the killer fish tale.
Because he's scared of sharks.
Absolutely.
Yes, well, I'm also paranoid of sharks because they're all out to get me. I know this.
Yes, that's all they think about.
Snakes, mosquitoes.
A few years ago, a shark came after me, and ever since I've just known that they're just waiting for me to get back in the water. They're not going to catch me a second time.
No, it's not if you stay on land.
Yes.
They want those glow-in-the-dark legs you got. No, but with the fish in Beneath, Larry, the fish actually worked. Where in Jaws, it sunk all the time. And Spielberg said that was the reason Jaws was so good. But I think the fish was amazing. When it came, the scenes where it come up by the boat and all that stuff, it was real reminiscent of Jaws. I loved it.
I appreciate that. It's not everybody has liked that movie, but I think it needs another look. It's pretty fun. Yeah, our fish didn't cooperate 100%, but we had, it was a beautiful looking puppet, and the guys running it, they were in the water, you know, for like 18 days in a row, trying to manhandle that thing. It's pretty fun working with a giant, a real life prop like that.
Art?
Different experience from a computer experience.
The award-winning art horror trilogy, the show Habit. Can you tell us about that? Break it down?
Well, I called it a trilogy because I made two movies, and then I made a third movie, and the first movie nobody saw or liked, so I thought, well, I'll bring it back by grouping these three movies. So Habit was the film that kind of put me on the map. Then there's another film called Wendigo, and a third film called No Telling, and that's what I'm calling my trilogy. And that's what I've been talking about. These movies are all kind of revisiting old movies, tropes, Habit's about a guy who thinks his girlfriend's a vampire, and it's really about a guy who's a mess and how we're all sort of in our own worlds. And then Wendigo's sort of about a guy, little kid who goes to the country with his parents, and they have a kerfuffle with the locals. So they're very atmospheric, moody films, not for everybody, not really pulpy. They're kind of more gritty and realistic. Very moody movie, so that's what I get up to. And those are my first films.
I did enjoy the fact that with Wendigo, you went with the Native American story, not just the Native American name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that movie's really got a lot of layers. I'm not saying it's particularly profound, but there's a lot going on. There's, you know, it's the whole idea of like how we sort of build myths to deal with everyday reality, and this little kid sort of hears this Native American myth, and he tries to imagine that this this Wendigo phantom of the woods is either his protector or is he after me. And, you know, it's really about how we use horror stories in a weird way. It's kind of a thoughtful piece that way. Also, we shot in upstate New York in the winter and just got a cool vibe. The family goes to that little house in the woods, and it's cool. All those movies are coming out next summer in Blu-ray, so I'm excited to be working on that, you know, dust off the old projects. That'll be nice to present them again, because a lot of them are fading into the past now, unless you're a real cinephile.
Oh, yeah. Wendigo, one word to describe that movie, isolation. That's what was so scary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And isolation describes habit as well. Isolated from each other. This is about a guy who feels very isolated. He lives in New York City. It's a great period piece of this compared to Taxi Driver, not as a great film, but as the atmosphere, just that New York grit. We shot it in the 90s, and we shot all over the city and the cabs and the lights, and it's obviously at night because it is possibly that his girlfriend is a vampire. And it's really just a psychological story, more in the line of a Rosemary's Baby or Repulsion, like that kind of vibe, than it is, some of the modern stuff. So pretty atmospheric, and yeah. That's just about the misery of feeling alone in the world and being crazy.
We got that covered.
We can relate with that.
Yeah. I'm sure your listeners can relate to that.
No, I was going to say, talking about the Wendigo, Nathan and I, the reason when we got started with this, everybody's looking for ghosts and stuff, and we did that too, did a lot of investigations. Nathan did demonology work. He had been around it, witches and stuff, and I'd done blue-collar ghost stuff, going to people's homes and seeing if there was something there. I wanted to get recordings, EVPs. But we even have a segment on the show. Each week we have a new legend from somewhere in the world. And we covered the Wendigo. We've actually been on the Wendigo's trail. Wendigo.
Yeah, that's true. We were down in... where were we when we were hunting the Wendigo? Was that in... No, that was...
Minnesota?
No, we were down in... on the New Mexico border, I think. We were speaking to people.
Oh, wow,
out there.
Dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, it might have been out there.
Well, you guys... So is that show archived somewhere? Because believe it or not, I'm writing a book about the Wendigo and all the different ways it's been discussed. So I'd love to include you guys.
No, unfortunately, the Wendigo stuff we actually did on our own. We were in, but this is how Sean and I work. We were actually out filming for somebody else, recording our radio show on the weekends. And then we said, hey, we've got a free weekend. Let's go hunt the Wendigo.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, that's so cool, man. That's the way to do it. I love you guys. You got to get in there and take advantage, and if you're somewhere, just ear to the ground, like see what's going on in that area and take advantage of it. Go make a little movie or find out the legend. You know, it's beautiful.
Funny you should say that, Larry, because a lot of times we're off weekends, brother, and we work real cheap. Do you have any ham sandwiches out there in the refrigerator? Because
no, man, I know you work cheap because you did your radio show in a graveyard. Can't even afford a studio. I like it. That's the way I like to work.
That's it, baby. On the run.
We're like, hey, we can afford $50 in wires and a laptop. Let's go do a show.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. I love it. That's the way to do it, man.
That's it, brother.
Hey, that's how you get the kids, you know. People come to me and they want to make a movie and they're worrying about money. And, of course, you have to worry about the budget. But I just say, don't wait around for some big handout. Yeah. It's not necessarily going to come, and you're going to spend all your time just trying to pitch to different people. Just go and make that movie and get something started. And if it's good or you got the chops, you don't need all the equipment. You need smart choices in the editing and get your actors to get into the zone. And, you know, there's so much creativity that's possible, especially now with the new cameras and all the possible things.
You can walk
I don't want to hear a bunch of hand wringing.
You can walk into Best Buy and for $1,500 walk out with a professional camera.
Okay.
And make a movie that'll be seen or distributed if it's got the chops, you know. So no excuses anymore.
And we can send it to Larry, and Larry say, you know what, guys? I've seen it. I hear what you're trying to say, but don't call me again, please.
Call me later.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, distribution is really the problem now. It's very hard. There's a lot of people making movies. some of them are good, but it's hard to get to get that thing to make sense financially, you know.
Hey, Sean, I hate to say this, but it's about that time.
No way, man. I'm not letting Larry go. You kidding me? We'll never get him back.
Yeah, we're just warming up, man. Yeah. Warming up here. Well,
it's sad but true, Mr. Ghostman.
Sounds good, Mr. Demon Hunter. I tell you what, Larry, could you stay on the line, brother, just for another minute?
Yeah, of course, guys.
All right, bub. What do you think, Demon Hunter?
Well, you know what time it is, Sean.
Well, I guess it's time to pay the bills.
Ah, we got to do it.
We got to do it again, because all our homes, all our carriers, guys, special thanks, 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio, guys, Action Audio, I messed that up, Action Audio Apps, guys, check them out, actionaudioapps.net. They want to know, are you listening? Check them out. Midnight Syndicate, thanks for the tunes, Creative Commons, freemusicarchives.org. Hey! From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.